thank Nani Shapiro for his recommendation. He suggested we should learn the Sefer, so thank you, Nani. Okay, the Bava V'Rebbe. We're going to learn today from the second Bava V'Rebbe, Rebbe Zion Halberstam. Here's a picture of the Tzaddik, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in 1941. An amazing, amazing Jew, a leader of Yidden, who was brutally murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. His son, of course, would become the Babav Rebbe who rebuilt Babav in America. I'm sure you'll recognize his picture. This picture is very nice, but most of the pictures are even nicer. His huge, warm smile. Rav Shlomo Halberstam, third Babav Rebbe. So Rav Ben Zion was the second Babav Rebbe. If you just look at this chart over here, you can see kind of where Babav falls in terms of the history of Hasidus. You have the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, the Noam Elimelech, the Rapshitzer. The Rapshitzer's Talmud was the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. And the first Babav Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Halberstam, the first, who passed away in 1905, was a grandson of the Divrei Chaim. Okay, and now today we're going to learn from the second Babav Rebbe, Rav Ben Zion Halberstam. Hashem should avenge his blood. It's very painful to read his personal story, and what the Nazis Yimach Shemam did to him in the early summer of 1941. But Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of his Torah. It's preserved for us, and it's very, very sweet Torah. And I hadn't looked at any of the Purim Torah until Nani recommended it to me yesterday. Okay, so let's learn three pieces together. Okay, I'll pull it up on the screen so everyone can see. The name of the Sefer is Kedushas Tzion. And with that, we begin. Okay, let's start from his first piece on Megillas Esther. He has an introductory piece here where he talks about when we have an Adar Sheni, when we have a second Adar in Purim Katan. But we're going to start from the first piece he has here in Megillas Esther. And the Pasuk says in the fifth parak of Megillas Esther, when Achashverosh and Esther are for bringing together, Achashverosh makes an offer. Vayomer HaMelech LaEsther. Want to see where we are? Right over here on the page. Vayomer HaMelech LaEsther. The king says to Esther, B'mishteh HaYayin. While they're feasting together in the fifth parak of the Megillah, enjoying the Suda of wine, he says, my beloved Esther, Ma She'ela Seich V'nosein Lach. What is it that you request? And I'm happy to grant it. I'm happy to honor that request. Uma bakasha seich, whatever you want, whatever your bakasha is, ad chatzi hamalchus v'seos. I'll give you up to half of the malchus, half of the kingdom, half of my empire. V'seos, right? It'll be done. Asiya, v'seos, it'll be fulfilled. The Gemara says, ad chatzi malchus, up to half of the kingdom, and not something that divides the kingdom, which the Gemara understands to mean, don't ask to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That would cause too much division. But other than that, up to half of the kingdom, whatever it is that you want, I'm happy to grant. Says the Holy Baba Rebbe, Yesh Lomar. Yesh Lomar b'zeh al derech ha-remez. We can explain with the following remez. And however, the three Torahs we're going to learn today are not only very deep and very beautiful, but you'll see there's a very practical element to Avodas Hashem. Sometimes you just learn a deep Torah idea and you say, wow, I never saw that in a Pasuk. I never recognized that in a Maimar Chazal. And sometimes it's very easy to see what the Rebbe wants us to actually live. So this piece is something you can live. It's a beautiful Rambez, he's going to say. But it's something you can live. Hinei b'kol mitzvah yesh ba shnei chalakim. However, we know that every mitzvah that we do has two parts to it. There's the doing, but then there's the feeling that comes along with the mitzvah. One of the hardest parts of being a good Jew is making sure that the feeling is there. Right? Sometimes we become so robotic about just doing. We do, you know? We do Shabbos, and we do Shachris, and we do Tefillin, and we do Kosher, but we're not necessarily connected in a deep way, emotionally, and even intellectually. Right? We're not thinking about what we're doing. So did I daven today? I davened today. Was I deeply connected? Was I emotionally connected to my Tefillin? Did I put on Tefillin today? I put on Tefillin today. Was I connected? Did I understand the schus of putting on tefillin? I'm learning Torah right now. Do I understand? Am I emotionally attached to the Torah that I'm learning? Or is it just, you know, a box that I check off over the course of my day? It's part of my daily responsibilities as a ben yeshiva. So, chaver, there's the chelak ha-masa and there's the chelak ha-machshava. There's the portion of asiya, of doing, and then there's the attitude, there's the intent that a person brings to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Says the Baba Rebbe, V'hinei hasa'ado so milton Hashem. When the Yetzer Hara comes to seduce a person, lasis means to seduce. When the Yetzer Hara tries to seduce us, in what sense? Limnoa, to prevent us from fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Iker avodaso hu lekalkel machshavto. The main attack of the Yetzer Hara is not so much to stop us from doing, because that's hard. We're Jews. We're from Jews. What do you mean? I'm a from guy. Of course I'm going to put on tefillin. What the Yetzer Hara is going to do is he's going to stop me from being a mindful Jew, being a thoughtful Jew, from being a Jew who's deeply connected emotionally to what I'm doing. Dahainu lahafrio b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah ulabalbel es machshav to tapi. That you do the mitzvah, but you're mububal, your mind is elsewhere. You're not focused. Avala etzem maisa ha-mitzvah eno choshesh kol kach. You want to do the mitzvah like a robot? You want to do the mitzvah without any deep kavana or intentions? The Yetzer Hara says, gezuntehei, go for it. You wanna mumble a shmona esrei at the speed of light and not have a clue what you're saying, as if you're actually talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Go for it. Have a good time. That doesn't bother me, says the Yetzer Hara. Ki amaisa b'li machshava v'kavana ritzuya b'lav hochi lo yale l'ratzen lifnei Hashem. Because when a person does the action and his mind isn't present, so how far is that going to go anyways? So the Yetzer Hara says, you want little broken mitzvahs? Go for it. I don't mind. V'yadua da'achashveirosh hu shoresh ha'klipa v'asitra achra. Says the Baba Rebbe, we know from Pnimiyas HaTorah, from Sifrei Chasidus, from the deeper works of Torah, we know that achashveirosh represents the root, the shoresh, of klipa, of negativity, of sitra achra, samach aleph stands for sitra achra, the other side, everything that opposes the Malchus of Hashem, that is the world of Achashverosh. V'chol ritzono umataraso, and his entire desire and goal, ha'yel ha'chti as Yisrael, is to cause B'nai Yisrael, la'chti literally means to sin, but that word also means to miss the mark. Right? La'chti means to miss the mark. Chait means missing the mark. When I sin, it means that what? That I missed the mark. Hashem wanted me to be a certain way, and I missed the opportunity. So the Yetzer Hara says, putting on tefillin and not thinking that you're putting on tefillin is also missing the mark. Learning Torah and not being emotionally connected to what you're learning because you're only half listening is also missing the mark. Keeping Shabbos but not doing it in a way that reflects the Kedusha of Shabbos is also missing the mark. So Achashverosh, who again in our mashal represents the Sitra Achra, represents the Yetzer Hara, his entire goal is to have us to what? Is to be very shvach yirin. To be broken Jews who hardly are aware of what they're doing. V'gam be'es hasu d'hoisa kavanaso rak k'dei l'lacheres b'nei Yisrael b'rishto ki adua misvar makadoshim. And even at the moment of the Suda Zachashverosh, and maybe we'll see how it connects to the Suda of Purim, his intention is to trap the Jewish people in his reshas, in his net, right? That we should fall into his clutches, we should fall into his trap. Okay, Simcha, what did you want to say? What did you want to ask?
I raised my hand by an accident, actually. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. All right, then keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, good. But I'm happy. Look how Simcha, even while he's driving, he's learning Torah. It's amazing. Okay, so friends, so this is what the Pasuk is hinting to. Listen to this. It's a beautiful, beautiful taitch of the Pasuk. V'zeh yesh lamar b'kavanas ha-pasuk. Vayomer HaMelech LaEsther. Achashverosh, who again is the Yetzer Hara, says to Esther. Esther is Knesset Yisrael. Esther is the Jewish people. Every one of us is Esther. B'mishtei HaYayin. At that party. At that drunken party. You know, at that drunken party. This whole world is a drunken party. Right? Like the Navi says about being in Gullus. We were drunk, but not from wine. We can't think straight. So at the Mishtei HaYayin, at life in this world, the Yetzer Hara says to us, Masha Elasech. What do you want to make of your life? And the Yetzer Hara says, I'll let you do it. What do you want to achieve? What are your desires in this world? Up to half of the kingdom, no problem. It's all yours. Up to half of the kingdom is yours, but the other half is mine. Says the Baba Rabbi, Zecher Sadek Levracha, Hinei Tevas Malchus, the gematria of the word Malchus, Achashverosh, the Sitra Achra, the Yitzhara, offered us half of the kingdom, half of the empire, half of the Malchus. So says the Baba Rebbe, to understand the secret of this Dvar Torah, you need to understand what is the gematria of the word Malchus. The gematria of the word Malchus is 496. What is half of Malchus? 496 divided in half is 248. Ah, 248, that's a number that we know. 248 is the number of mitzvos, positive commandments, mitzvos asay. So what does it mean, up to half of the Malchus? The idea is that every mitzvah, all 248 mitzvos, really are double mitzvos. They have two components to them. They have the chelek ha-ma'aseh, there's the part that you do, and then there's the attitude, there's the intention, right? There's the kavana, there's the mindfulness that a person brings to the mitzvah. So Achashverosh the Yitzhara says to us, I'm happy to give you half of Malchus. I'm willing to give you what? The 248 mitzvos. You can do them. But don't ask for the other 248. What's the other 248? What's the other component? It's the half of the intention. Sheyesh behem l'rameis al ramach mitzvos asay. It hints to the 248 mitzvos asay. The 248 positive commandments. The Yitzhara says, I'll make a deal with you. Sheyesh behem shnei chalakim. There's the chelak ha-ma'aseh and the chelak ha-machshava. Again, each mitzvah has what am I actually doing and what is my intention in doing the mitzvah. V'lechein amar Achashverosh shuhu asitra achra, says the Yitzhara, ad chatzi ha-malchus, you could have half of 248, and which half can you have? Visei os. You can have the asiya. You can have the doing. You want to do? Be the type of Jew who does, no problem. You'll go your whole life doing, and you'll mamish be a shell of a Jew. You'll be an empty shell of a Jew. Now again, chavra, I'm not saying that that's nothing. Right? A Jew who robotically does mitzvahs is also something. There's something to be said for that. But it's very sad. It's very sad if a person, you know, davens the same mumbly Shmona Esrei that he did in seventh grade his whole life. That's very sad. That's a tragedy. And it's very sad if your Shabbos table, you know, never becomes enhanced. If your connection to the Yom Tovim, right, never grows past your, you know, your childish understanding of what the holidays are about. You never understood the depth of Hanukkah. You never understood what the opportunity of Kabbalah Satorah and Shavuos is like. It's supposed to be growing. You're supposed to do the mitzvahs with greater kavana, greater mindfulness, greater intentionality. So says the Yitzhara, you want to do? You want to do 248 v'sei os? You want to be a doer? Go do. Klomar, she'ani mevater rak ad chatzi ha-malchus. Says the Yitzhara, I'm happy to be mevater. I'm happy to forgo half of the malchus. Hainu achatzi shel mispar tevas malchus. Half of the gematria of the word malchus. I'm happy to give you 248 mitzvos of ma'asa. Ki chelek ha-ma'asa asher osim k'mitzvos anashim milumada. Because the mitzvos that you do in the way of mitzvos anashim milumada, the famous phrase which means to perform mitzvos by rote, robotically, lo chashiv kol kach be'enei Hashem yisbarach. That's not the main thing in the eyes of Hashem. However, the main thing in the eyes of Hashem is what the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, I believe it's Daf Kovav, Rachmana liba bai. Hashem desires our hearts. Hashem wants our lev. Right? Hashem wants our, of course Hashem wants us to also do the mitzvah. It's not just about good intentions. It's obviously about performing the mitzvah with all the details of halacha. But once I'm doing the mitzvah, so put your mind into it, put your heart into it. Right? So the Yitzhara says, you want to do the mitzvahs robotically, v'sei os, you want to do the asiya, no problem. Aval ala machshava, but the machshava of the mitzvah, you want to be a deep Jew, who's a thinking Jew? Not so fast. Al ze lo uchal l'malos mevukasheich. About that, I'm not prepared to grant. Because when a Jew is really connected, that lifts up the Jewish people, and that's gorem. What does gorem mean? It causes the mapalasan shel resham, the downfall of the wicked. So Achashverosh, the Yetzirah says, you want to do? You can do. But just don't be a thinking Jew. Just get into kind of that robotic, you know, avodas Hashem that unfortunately so many people fall prey to. But however, what happens on Purim? We're not done yet. Because on Purim, we know we dig deep. And on Purim, in a remarkable way, right, in a very paradoxical and ironic way, The drinking of Purim is the throwing away of our das in order to what? To reach a place that's even higher than das, a place that's called Adar Lo Yada. You would think, if the whole fight against the Yitzhahara is exactly what we're describing here, the Yitzhahara wants us not to be thinking Jews, so you would think, drinking on Purim is antithetical. We want to be as mindful as we can be on Purim. But the secret, the Vinahafachu of Purim, is that Dafka, when the person, what, drinks wine, they reach a level of deeper connection to Hashem, that sometimes we're more mindful, we're more connected emotionally to Hashem on Purim than we are any other day of the year. So says the Gemara, the famous line in the Gemara in Maseches Erevin. The Gemara says that when Nichnas Yayin, when the Yayin goes in, Yatza Sod, the secret comes out. And everyone wants to know, what is the secret, right? Obviously, on a simple level, the person who's not drinking in a holy way, right, is going to share secrets that they're going to regret sharing. But says the Bava Rebbe, I heard from my holy father. I heard from the first Bava Rebbe of Shlomo Halberstam. I heard from my father who passed away in 1905. I heard an amazing idea. Nichnas Yayin Yatza Sod. What's the sod? What's the secret of Purim, Chevra? When the wine goes in, the sod comes out. So Chevra, Yatza Sod. Let's see what emerges from sod. What do you mean, what emerges from sod? What does that mean? Yatza Sod. What emerges from sod? So he tells us another remes. He says, if you take the word sod, take the word sod, which means secret, and you take the miloi of the word sod. What is the miloi? The miloi means that every letter we know, and the idea is found already in the earliest works of Kabbalah, every letter, every Hebrew letter, is also really a word. Right? So Aleph, even though it's a single letter, it's a shape, Aleph, right? But the word Aleph means something, right? Aleph Lamed Peh, Aleph. Aleph means to learn. An Aluf is a chief or a master, a general, a leader, right? The Beis, how do you spell Beis? Bet Yud Tuf. Bayis, it means a house. So the Hebrew letters aren't just sounds like A, B, C, right? But they're words. They're words. So Miloi means spell out the letter. Write out the letter. Okay, so how do you write out Samach, Vav, Dalet? Let's write out Samach, Vav, Dalet. So he does it for us right here. Samach, Vav, Dalet. So what are the secret letters, so to speak, of the word Sod? In other words, what are the letters that emerge when you expand the Sod, Yatza Sod, when you open up the Samach, Vav, Dalet? So in the letter Samach, right, hiding inside, is a Mem and a Chaf. In the letter Vav, spelled Vav, Vav, is hiding the letter Vav. And in the letter Dalid, which is spelled Dalis, is hiding Lamid and Tuf. So what letters are hiding within the Sod? What letters are hiding? The letters of the word Malchus. Malchus. What did Achashverosh say? I'm only prepared to grant half of the Malchus. I'm only prepared to let you do mitzvos, but don't do it in a deep way. But on Purim, Nichnas Yayin, Yatza Sod, the whole Malchus comes out. What does it mean, the whole Malchus comes out? What's hidden inside of a Jew? That intention, that deep kavana, that desire not to just use my body to serve Hashem, but to use my soul, my heart to serve Hashem. So the inner letters of the word Sod, Samach, Vav, Dalid, the letters that are hiding within, are the letters of the word Malchus. V'zeh Nichnas Yayin, Yatza Sod. And Chevra, this is the secret of Purim, that on Purim we rise above, again, that robotic practice, and we become deep Jews. By the way, anyone know what the letter for the month of Adar is? Every month has a letter that's associated with it. It's found in Sefer Yetzirah, the earliest work of Kabbalah, attributed to Avram Avinu. Every month has a letter. What is the letter for the month of Adar? Anyone know? Call it out if you do. No? You don't have Rapinson's book yet, Donnie?
What's the letter for the month of stock for a couple months?
Oh, really? Ah, chaval. Yeah. That's too bad. Okay, well, if you open up a Bnei Yisachar, at the beginning of Kuf. What is a Kuf? Again, a letter is also a word. What is a Kof? A Kof is a monkey. What does a monkey do? A monkey has a very good ability to mimic, right, what people do. So much so that people sometimes suggested that human beings came from monkeys. Right? We've evolved from monkeys. Monkeys are very good at imitating superficially what a person is doing. But a monkey even if you could train a monkey to put on tefillin, right? A monkey can't have the feeling that a Jew is supposed to have when he puts on tefillin. So the whole world of Chodesh Adar, right? The costumes of Adar, the letter Kuf. Kuf is a kof, the mimicry that Achashverosh thinks he's going to be the Melech. He thinks he's going to be the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because you put on the big day kahuna at your party, Achashverosh? You think that's what it means to be the Kohen Gadol? You think it's just about the clothing? It has nothing to do with the clothing. It has to do with what's happening on the inside. So Nechlas Yayin, right? When the wine goes in, the whole inion of wine is what? You take a grape and you extract its pneumius. That's what wine is. It's the inside of something. It's the inner dimension of something. So when the wine goes into us, it brings out our inside. It brings out what? That second dimension to mitzvos. It brings out not only the actions, but it brings out the emotions and the feelings. Klomar, kishenechnasim lesudas hayayin bepurim. When a Jew comes to the Purim Suda, shem mitzvah laharbos oz besimcha, uveshtias hayayin, al shenit solu me'atzas achashverosh. When we drink in celebration that we overcame the terrible intentions of Achashverosh and Haman, this gabra la klipos, and we overcome this klipa, this negativity, as yotza sod, then the secret comes out. Then we take the word sod, we open it up, and what do we find inside? We find the whole world, malchus, right, hiding inside, which is what? Malchus, again, is 2 times 248. The chelak ha-maisa and the chelak ha-mashava. And that's how we defeat, this is part of the secret, of how we defeat Achashverosh at our Purim Suda. Okay? So a very, very deep secret in the Pasuk, in the fifth parak of Esther. Ayomer HaMelech LaAchashverosh B'mishteh HaYayim. Ma Sheh LaSeich. You want to do more as a Jew? You can do. Just don't put in the emotions. But the Yayin brings out the emotions. And the emotions means, I don't want to just be a robotic Jew. Right? I want to cry to Hashem on Purim. I want to be able to daven from the depths of my heart on Purim. Not like a rushed Mona Esrei on a Monday afternoon, catching a quick mincha in between classes. No, I want to be a Jew who has the time to be with Hashem in a deep way. Okay? That's Torah number one from the Halakha above of Rabbi. Okay? Let's go now to the ninth parak of Megillas Esther. The Pasuk says, V'nahofachu asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim heima bisoneihem. Okay? We know at the end of the Megillah, of course, Klal Yisrael are successful. We're zocha v'nahofachu. It's mamish a total reversal of everything that they wanted to do to us, and it's a mamish a big celebration. And vina hafachu, what's the vina hafachu? Asher yishlitu ha-Yehudim, right? That the Jews were able to be victorious. Who? What does the pasuk say? Interesting lashon. Heima b'sonehem. What does that mean? Listen to the whole pasuk. Uveshne. It's the beginning of the ninth parak. Uveshne masar chodesh hu chodesh adar. It was on the 12th month, which is Adar, Bishlosha Asar Yombo, on the 13th day of the month, right? The day Haman was trying to kill us. Asher Higia Dvar HaMelech V'daso Le'asos, the day when the king's command was supposed to take place, Haman's decree, with the permission of Achashverosh. Bayom Asher Sibru Oive HaYehudim Lishlot Behem, on the very day that the enemies of the Jews had every intention to destroy us, what happened? Bayom, on that very day, the whole thing was reversed. Asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim heima bisoneihem. That they, the Jews, were able to reverse the whole decree and to dominate their enemies. However, what is this word heima? What does that mean? V'nahafachu, it was reversed. Asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim, that the Jews, yishlatu, that they were able to subdue, to dominate, soneihem, their enemies. Hema bisoneihem. They against their enemies. Them against their enemies. What's the them? What's the hema? Right? What does it mean, hema bisoneihem? It's a little hard to translate. I'm looking at the, what do I have here? This is the Mitsuda 5 Megillos volume with Rashi. Yeah, so here they translate it. It says it was totally reversed. For they, the Yehudim, subdued their enemies. What's the hema? They, the Yehudim, you could have just written. You could have just written, Asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim bisoneihem. The Jews subdued their enemies. What does it mean, hema bisoneihem? They over their enemies. What is this word, hema? It seems to be unnecessary. So says the Bava Rebbe, let me tell you what the word hema is about. And let me tell you why that's part of the celebration and part of the vina hafachu. Amnam Yesh Lomar. Let's learn a concept that appears very often in Sifrei Chassidus. It's a deep idea, and it's something you can keep your eyes out for as you learn. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, and it's based on a Medrash, the idea is rooted in a Medrash, Ashrayim HaTzadikim Shemahapchin Midas Hadin L'Midas HaRachmim. Praiseworthy are the Tzadikim who take Midas Hadin, who take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas Hadin, and they turn it into Midas HaRachmim. They sweeten the din, they soften the din, they take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention to punish, and they somehow petition Hashem V'nahafachu. They turn it around. Ki mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu yotzim osios l'anhaga sa'olam. Chevra, there's a deep idea that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in this world is created through letters. There's many sources of this idea. Those of us who've been learning Tanya on Tuesday night know this idea well. Everything is made up of letters. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a decree down to this world, it's the Dvar Hashem, God is speaking. Hashem is speaking words. Words are made up of letters. So what does it mean when a tzaddik has the ability to be mahapech midas hadin l'midas harachamim? A tzaddik has the ability to rearrange letters. Ki mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu yotzim osios l'anhagas ha'olam. Hashem sending down letters to guide the world. U'kishabam ha'osios l'ha'olam. When those letters reach this world, mitzdarfim lefi hamekam, hein letav vehein lehefech chas v'shalom. Those letters are mitzdarif, are joined together, are arranged in accordance with our ability to retav hein lehefech, sometimes good, sometimes not good. So a tzaddik has the ability to take negative letters and to turn them into positive letters. Let's give some examples. U'kishayesh tzaddik v'chacham ba'olam, Shiyodeya ha'osios. When a tzaddik is able to recognize exactly what type of energy Hashem is sending down to the world, he's able to what? He's able to take the letters and rearrange them, to write a different script. Afalpi shiyatzu chalila b'tzira falotov. Even if those letters were coming down in a negative sense, yuchol lahape chatzirufim al yedei chachmaso v'tfilaso l'tova. He can take those negative letters, and with his wisdom and his righteousness and his prayer, he could rearrange the letters. So for example, Hashem is sending down, because of our bad behavior, Hashem is sending a tzara. A tzara means what? A difficulty upon Klal Yisrael. And the tzaddik does what? The tzaddik takes those three letters, tzara, and he turns it into something positive. He turns it into Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael. He turns it into Ritzei, like we say on Shabbos, in our special tefillah that we insert into our benching. He turns it into a Ratz or a Ritzei. He turns it into a Ratzon Tov, into something positive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a Dalet Vav Hei into the world. Dava or Davei is a lashon of illness or sickness, of brokenness, right? Like you find in Megillas Eicha, or like you find it describes a woman who's having her period. Right, the Torah describes that bodily process, which creates a certain tumah, right, as an isha dava, or davei. So the tzaddik takes those letters, and what does he do? He turns them around, he makes it into hod, something glorious, something beautiful. He takes a nega, he takes an affliction, nun gimel ayin, and he turns it into what? Into an oneg, as we're going to learn today in Gemara Shir. We're going to learn about the Indian of a karasa l'shabbos oneg, right? Kiddush b'makom suda. The tzaddik takes the nega, he takes something which is painful, and he turns it into something delightful. V'gam b'kocham l'hashal chatzirufim lotovim al sonei Hashem. And not only that, but the tzaddik has the ability to take the negative letters and to transform them in such a way that he's able... Oh, thanks. Thank you so much. The tzaddik has the ability to take the letters and to transform them in such a way that he can actually send the negative letters onto the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So if the enemies were trying to cause the destruction of the Jewish people, right? Not only does the Rasha intend to create kares, the cutting off of Klal Yisrael, we turn it into a kesa, we turn it into a crown, and we cause our enemies to be cut off, we cause a malik to be destroyed and forgotten. Okay? This is the concept of Tzirufei Osios and the Tzaddik's ability to transform them. And if you want to see more about this, he says, look in the Degel Machane Ephraim in Parshas Emor, which was the Chassidus Sefer that we learned last year on Thursdays. Okay, so now, Hine ki kein yesh lomar. So we can say that in the times of Mordechai and Esther, we know there was a horrible decree, And the decree of the Gezerah was, as the Pasuk says, Lehumam uleabdam. The Pasuk says in the ninth parak of Esther, their intention was, again, there's so much bilbul in the Megillah. There's so much, everything is like shaky in the Megillah Esther. Everything is very frightening, right? Lehumam, to terrorize them, uleabdam, and to destroy us. There was tremendous fear. Again, we explained the other day that the reason that Chodesh Adar became joyous from beginning to end is because there was such anxiety. Chodesh Adar was so scary. Lehumam means to what? To terrorize us, to frighten us. Ula Abdam, and then to destroy us. So now, so Yatsu Oz B'Shamayim Osios Hey Mem Hey. The letters Hey Mem Hey came down to the world. The letters which make up the word Mehuma, which means what? Fear, trepidation, terror. Mordechai the Tzaddik came along and he said, hold on a second. Got to put the nekudos in. We got to figure out how we want to read this word. There's a lot of different ways to pronounce this word. Mordechai Tzaddik and the other Chachmei Ador and Esther Amalka, B'tfilasam Paolu Lahafich HaSatziruf, they took those letters, Hey Mem Hey, those same letters which can be read forwards and backwards, exactly the same. Right? Sometimes when you change the letters, so you rearrange the order. Right, Tzara forwards and Ratza or Ritzeh backwards. Dava forwards, Hod backwards. Nega, Oneg. Here you have a word that could be read exactly the same forwards and backwards. Hey Mem Hey. It's Hey Mem Hey forwards, it's Hey Mem Hey backwards. So how do you pronounce it? Nimsa Kishinis Hapich Tevos Hey Mem Hey. Nishapcha Gezeras Lehumam Shahaisa Bitchila B'nei Yisrael Levo Al Soneim. So when you flip it around, right, when you somehow reverse the energy, if sort of this negative gezeira is coming on you and you're able to redirect it, so you reverse it, v'nahafachu, and you redirect it, what? You direct that gezeira right at Haman. This hafcha gezeiras lehumam, shayisa b'tchila al b'nei Yisrael, lavo al soneihem. You redirect that negative energy. You point it in the direction of the enemies of the Jews. Why do you think Haman is what? Vayavhilu lahavias Haman. When Haman's things start falling apart for Haman, everything starts speeding up, right? There's this mahuma, there's this bilbul. And then Haman ends up falling on top of Esther and Ahasuerus says, oh, and everything gets out of control very quickly. Because that same mahuma, that same terror, that same panic, right? That same anxiety that they were trying to cause for Klal Yisrael, when Mordechai redirected it at Haman, all of that became Haman's reality. And therefore, like the Pasuk says, V'hipil pur hu ha-goral l'humam ula abdam, uvavo lifnei ha-melech omer ma-sefer yashuv ma-chashavta ra-ash r'choshav al-yehudim al-rosho. Haman, you cast your lotteries, you cast your lots to terrorize us and to destroy us. Well, says the Pasuk, when the time came, when Esther came before the king, and they davened, and they reversed the machshava ra, so everything that they intended to do to Klal Yisrael became what? Became the fate of our enemies. And therefore, now we know how to read the pasuk. Says the pasuk, vina hafachu, mamish, the very words, the very letters, that very gezeira that was being sent on Klal Yisrael, the whole thing got turned around. Sha gezeira nevcha, v'nishlcha al sone Hashem. It was reversed and thrown onto our enemies instead. Uve'eza ofen. So how did that happen? Says the Pasuk, I'll tell you. Asher yishlu tu ha-yehudim. The Jewish people were able to what? To subdue their enemies. She tzadikei v'chachmei ador ha-yel hem ha-shlita l'hapich ha-gezeira b'tfilasam. Through our tfilos, we were able to reverse exactly the thing they wanted to do to us. And that's why the Pasuk says, this word that we thought was extra, heima b'sonehem. Obviously, the literal pshat is heima is lashon of heim. They, upon their enemies. But Hema, they wanted to create a Mahuma. They wanted to create anxiety for us. We reversed it, and the Hema itself, that very Lehumam Ula Abdam, became the fate of our enemies. And look what he writes here at the end. Listen to what the Tzaddik writes here in the last words. Amar shenizgal lo davar zeh b'chalom. He had this Dvar Torah, he dreamt this Dvar Torah. This idea came to him in a dream. Okay, so we should be zochah to have such holy and powerful dreams. Okay, let's hear Yehuda, a quick comment.
Two quick comments. The first one about the dream is that the job of the tzaddik is to take that which comes in a dream, which seems to be like things that are most separate from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yeah. They seem to be like the most separate from our like rational intellect, and to bring them in and like show how they actually do have to do with the Ratzon Hashem and everything. And so like that's what Yosef HaTzadik does, and Yosef is the Tzadik, and so Mordechai is the same Bechina.
Okay.
Mordechai is the one who like hears a conversation of two people on the wall, and he brings it to Esther, and so it's so fitting that to our Torah comes from a dream. And then the other thing in the last piece, one of the paragraphs ended with the words, "Ki al yidei zeh mis'alim b'nei Yisrael v'gorim ma'palasan shel Rishon." Mm-hmm. That through us being able to have the masa connected to the machshava, we are able to rise ourselves up and lower the rishon, and it's mamish exact idea that we've been learning about having a neck and connecting the tachtonim to the alyonim, and that when we are able to do that, we're able to connect our masa to our machshava and to our kavana and to our
right.
to our aleve, then Yaakov is able to put the yoke on Esav. And like it brings back the imagery of the fish and the
right,
chazir.
Right, right. That's right. Connecting the body to the head through the neck. Right. Connecting the machshava and the maisa. And that's why the Gemara says Archati Hamalchus means you can't ask for the Beis Hamikdash.
Because that's why they're so scared. They're so scared of the machshava, because when we have right. the machshava, that's when we're able to push them down. And I was thinking Nichnas Yain Yatza Sod. Yatza can mean like to leave, and so Sod could be like Sod is like the vav that connects Malchus to the Mochin. And so I was thinking that Yatza Sod means like when the Yain comes out and we're able to get to the place of Adelo Yada, we're able to even like take out the Vav and everything's still okay and we're able to become a fish.
Okay. Connected without the neck. Right. Connected without the neck. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, Chava, let's do one more little piece. We'll do one more little one. Okay? This is on page Nun Dalet. It's on the screen right here. An interesting Gemara, and again, a very practical lesson for us, especially in our confusing world. The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin on Tkuf Lamed Tes, Haman min haTorah minayin. Chaver, what's the source for Haman in the Torah? Where do you find Haman in the Torah? Now, obviously, it's a very strange question. Why is the Gemara looking for a source for Haman in the Torah? What do you need a hint to Haman in the Chumash? And the Gemara finds a source all the way back in Gan Eden. As the pasuk says, when the Jews, when Adam and Chava ate from the tree, right? Hashem says, "Hamin ha'etz, hamin ha'etz," from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from. Did you eat? So hamin ha'etz, hey Memnon, is Haman, right? It's actually pronounced hamin ha'etz, from that tree that I told you not to eat. Did you eat? Hashem says, but hamin is the letters Haman. So the Gemara says this is a hint to Haman in the Torah. Says the Baba of Rabbi, I don't understand. V'yesh l'das. Le'eze tzoyrech bikshu chachmenu zichronim levracha limtso remez lahaman min haTorah. Why on earth is the Gemara looking for a hint to Haman in the Torah? Haman appears 54 times in Megillah Esther. We don't need to find Haman in the Torah. Haman didn't exist in the time of the Torah. Certainly not in Gan Eden. So why am I trying to find Haman in the Torah? And why is the source Hamina Eitz? Whatever happened by the original chait of Adam and Chava. Amnam yitachin lahamis kavan of divrei Gemara. Perhaps we could deepen our understanding of this Gemara. Di yeshnam rishayim sha'osim kol davar ra ba'olam. V'sava tovas belibam va'omrim she'ein zeh neged haTorah. Sometimes there are people who do wicked things, and they even go so far as to convince themselves that what they're doing is not against the Torah. Sometimes they become so deluded by their own understanding of things that they convince themselves that that which is against Hashem is actually a mitzvah. That's a very scary idea. Ulefa'amim gam choshrim shemakayim mitzvah b'zeh. Right? This is part, again, of one approach to how Adam and Chava were misled in Gan Eden. Because Adam and Chava said, well, listen, you know, we don't have a Yetzirah right now. Yetzirah is outside of us. When we eat from this tree, then we'll have a Yetzirah, and that will make life more challenging. But then when we make good choices, it'll be that much more meaningful. Whoa, hold on a second. Who asked you to make such a calculation? Who asked you to try to make the game harder for yourself? Hashem told you don't eat from the tree, period. That's all you need to know. And Adam and Chav have all sorts of explanations why it makes sense that they should eat from the tree and why it would be better for their avodas Hashem. They made it into a mitzvah. They made it a veir into a mitzvah. As the Navi Yeshaya says, Hoy, ha'omim l'ra tov v'latov ra. Woe to those who say that evil is good and good is evil. Sometimes a person becomes so confused. Now keep in mind, Chevra, that we're learning a Torah of a tzaddik who died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shma, right? Who was killed, who was living in Galicia, somewhere in between Poland and Ukraine, 1941, right? Beaten by a bunch of lowlifes, a bunch of Polish and Ukrainian peasants, right? Beaten to death in World War II. Think about Hitler's intention, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro, to make the world a better place by ridding the world of Klal Yisrael. He thought he was doing a mitzvah for the world. He thought he was doing a holy thing, right? By trying to preserve the Aryan race, or whatever other sick ideas he had in his head. So the Nachash HaKadmoni, the Nachash in Gan Eden, also had all sorts of ways of explaining why his intentions were correct and they were good and they were better for the world and it would be better to not listen to Hashem about this thing. V'zeh hishrish ha-Nachash HaKadmoni b'cheir etz hadas. The root of that convoluted thinking is when the Nachash HaKadmoni, when the original snake, got us to taste from the tree of knowledge. Shegaram ta'arovas shel tov v'ra kenoda. It used to be so clear. There was tov and there was ra. Now we live in a world where it's hard to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It's hard to know what people's intentions are when they suggest like this or like that. It's hard to know who's sincere, who's fake. Ukamo she'amar ha'nachash, ki b'yom achalta mimenu v'nifkechu einechem, v'yisim ke'alokim yoydei tov v'ra. Right? The Nachash convinced them that you'll be able to open your eyes, you'll be able to understand in a deeper way if you would just eat from the tree. But of course, part of that experience was knowing Tov and Ra, which again the Nachash convinced them was good, made sense. But after the Chet, that's what happened. The world in Tov and Ra is so mubulbal. There's such a confusion now. It's hard to know what's truly good and what's bad. V'zeo haman min ha'Torah minayin. So you think about a Russia with a diabolical plot who convinces the world that the Jewish people need to be removed of the disease of the world. The world would be a better place without Klal Yisrael. Haman, what a perversion of reality. The world only exists because of Klal Yisrael. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikereishis. Hashem made the world and appointed us as what? As those who take responsibility for the success of the world. So what are you talking about, Haman? Where did you get such a corrupted way of thinking to think that the Jewish people, who are the light unto the world, have to be destroyed from the world? That degree of perverse thinking is rooted in what? Hamin ha'et. It's rooted in eating from Eitz Hadas. Peirush Eichi Tochin La'adam Lios Rasha Kaman. How does a person become so perverted in their thinking? Va'od Lachshov B'libo Shehu B'Rishus HaTorah. And to think that what? That he's doing a holy thing. Like the Ramban famously coined the phrase in Parshas Kedoshim, that a person could be a Naval B'Rishus HaTorah. Naval b'rishus haTorah means that he's going against the Torah, right? But he's doing it in a way that's technically within the letter of the law. He's naval, he's disgraceful, but within the framework of Torah. He lives a life that's antithetical to Torah, but he finds heterim to rationalize his behavior. So Haman, in a certain sense, also thought he was doing a good thing. Where does that come from? Hamin ha'etz. It's rooted in the chet of Eitz Hadas. Hainu min chet Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas caused Tov and Ra to enter our minds simultaneously. And again, the Ad Lo Yada of Purim is getting beyond Eitz Hadas. It's getting away from that world of confusion, right? Just getting back to the simple, straightforward reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's it. There's no confusion anymore. Again, ironically, by removing our clarity, we come to greater clarity. Ki kodem ha-chet hayu ha-tov v'ha-ra nifradim zeh mizeh. Because before the chet of Adam and Chava, Tov and Ra were separate from each other. It was easy to recognize. It was easy to know, this is holy, this is not holy. This is pure, this is impure. But the Chet Eitz Hadas caused this terrible confusion. And that's Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Right? That's how you could have Hamans in the world. You could have people in the world who think that they're doing a favor for humanity by destroying the Jewish people. What a sick and perverse way of thinking. But however, we're all guilty of it in some small measure. We all do certain things that we rationalize and try to explain why it makes sense, why it's good, and why, we come up with all sorts of convoluted rationalizations, sometimes convince ourselves that the thing that we want to do is actually okay, or it's good for me, it's in line with Torah, etc., etc. And it's not. And that's what Purim's about. Purim's about back to that clarity, not falling into that trap of Eitz Hadas Tovara, where everything is mubulbal, but being able to get back to a certain straight type of thinking. Again, throw away your convoluted mind to come back to the simple truth of Einon Movado. There's nothing other than Hashem. And to be able to recognize good in the simplest and clearest way. Okay, so Chavis, so we learned three beautiful Torahs today. Number one, the importance of not only doing mitzvos, but doing them with great intentionality, right? To try to get the whole Malchus, not just Chatzia Malchus. Number two, a tzaddik's ability to take a gzeirah ra and to turn it around. And every one of us, in a certain sense, has the ability to do that. When we daven in a strong way, we can take the very letters that are coming to harm the world and turn it into something so positive for the world, or to deflect that negative energy towards our enemies. And again, the danger of convoluted thinking, of falling into that trap of Haman, where we start to think that ra is tov and tov is ra, and getting back to the simple, straightforward thinking of, I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, and not to be confused about the proper way to live one's life. Okay? Beautiful Torahs, no?